This is Hannah Lazar, and I am lucky enough to be on the phone with two of the members of Bag of Toys, Robert Tate and Steve Calgill.
Cruising through the beach in my piece of shit, got my supple turned in and benefits. So pouring down and the floods a dash. Pull a little swizz as I find my stash. Slipping hands tap to the beat of the street. The back sweating hard, sticking to the sea. Got the sublime bumping on the stereo. But my head still bumping from the night before. But that's okay, that's okay. Other day on its way.
How's it going?
Hey, good. Thank you for being available to us and talking to us. It's going to be fun for your fans to hear a podcast with you. So you guys are both in San Francisco, is that right?
Yep.
About a half a block away?
Yeah. Oddly enough, yes.
Yeah. And that's because, you know, tell your listeners why that is.
Steve was supposed to be in L.A. this weekend and ended up getting sick, so he's actually at home, and I actually happen to live about a half a block away from him anyway. So now we're both on two separate phones, half a block away talking to you. So.
Oh, well, how did you guys end up all getting together, the four of you, Robert, Joe, and the other Robert Stadler, is that right?
Yeah, I'll let Steve take this one.
We actually met each other through Craigslist. There's a musician's posting on there, and Bob and I actually both were looking for somebody to play with, and I went to work one day and read this post on Craigslist looking for a musician, and it had all the different influences up there, and I for a second thought it was my post, and I forgot that I put it up there, and then I realized it wasn't mine, and I just went, oh shit, I gotta talk to this guy. Turned out to be Tate. So we basically were running like the exact same post, kind of looking for each other, I guess. And then we ended up meeting at his place and jamming through a few tunes. And pretty much as soon as we got done, we decided, all right, let's start a band. And then we started looking for the other guys. Went through what felt like a never-ending audition process of bass players and drummers. And we were lucky enough to find Stadler and Joe. And as soon as we found those guys, we were done. The bag was at full power.
You're like, yay. How'd you come up with that name, Bag of Toys?
That was probably the angriest we've ever been at each other, was trying to come up with a stupid name. Every time I came up with a list of names that I thought were really cool, Joe would shoot all of them down. And then the exact opposite thing would happen, where Joe would come up with this list of names, and I would think they were the worst names I've ever heard in my life. So we ended up with Bag of Toys because it was essentially one of the only names that didn't annoy both of us. So, and
we were playing gigs without a name, and we finally just went,
no.
Yeah, people are like, "What do we call you?" I don't know. Even when we went with Bag of Toys, people keep calling us like Box of Rocks and Bag of Rocks. We've gotten all sorts of things.
Yeah, it would be like whatever band would be playing before us would say into the microphone, like, please stick around for Box of Rocks coming up. Kept screwing our name up. It was pretty funny.
So does that,
we're getting better at it.
Does that lighthearted bickering transcend on stage two?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we're just, it's all, you know, we just go out and try to have a good time, you know?
Uh-huh. Well, that sounds like fun. I mean, I just interviewed a couple bands at our Rock for Africa benefit, and they have the same thing going on between two members, and it's really hysterical because on stage it's almost like part of their bit or something. But
we're actually pretty like when we were, you know, checking out other guys to add to the band, we actually made really sure that we picked people that we could kind of hang out with and, you know, and be cool, because we played with a bunch of people that were good drummers and good bass players. But, you know, Steve and I, when we were looking around, we just, you know, looking at each other going, well, that, you know, he's good, but, you know, can you picture hanging out with him? I was like, mm-hmm. Well, no, not really. And, you know, all the guys in the band, we get along great, you know, so.
Yeah, we hang out all the time, even when we're not playing music. We'll go out and have beers and do stuff. So we definitely get along.
Oh, that's awesome. Right. You know, and that comes through in your music, that you all are friends because your music really flows well together. And it's a cool sound being a surf band on acoustic guitars like your band is. It reminds me like of a huge bonfire and dancing on the beach with the waves crashing and the drums playing type thing. I think The Raven, your song The Raven, reminds me of this the most. You know, like from the surf movies with the girls in the bikinis like going crazy dancing and all that.
Everyone knows what time you just be happy 39, but don't forget to drop back a beer. The weather's great, I have to say it's gonna be a perfect day. We haven't lost a single life yet, no, no. We never did, we never did, we never did. Oh, no, no, I said no.
Music in the future with acoustic guitar, is that your primary, or will you, you know, move into the electric guitar or something else for that matter?
Yeah, I mean, we love the acoustic sound. I don't think we really plan on mixing it up too much. I think there's only one little part on one song of the entire album of Nooner that has any electric guitar on it, and that's a little riff on Last Wave that I play. But the rest of it's all acoustic. And a huge part of it is just being too lazy to have to lug extra stuff to gigs. If I do start playing electric guitar, I'm going to have to start bringing an amp and a head and all that. Yeah, so not only do we love the sound, but we love the ease of just being able to roll into shows with basically just a guitar and a cord and setting up and playing.
Yeah.
It appeals to the ear and to the lazy man.
That's right. Are you all avid surfers in the Bay Area?
I am. I'm still trying to get these guys going on it.
Stadler surfs a lot. He went to college in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, Stadler, yeah, does as well. You know, I surf whenever possible. Actually, I was going to head out today, but it started pouring on us, so I didn't do that. And I would have almost forgot. I probably would have missed this interview, so I'm glad I did, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing about being a surfer and also being a musician. You just kind of go with the moment. You know, if the waves are good, you go with the waves. If the music, if you're feeling the music, you don't leave just because you have to be somewhere. So,
exactly.
I understand that. One of your fans asked me to ask you this. What is the type of car referenced as piece of shit in your song titled Surf Song?
That would be my 91 baby blue Toyota Camry that I've got, which essentially really is a piece of shit. So,
and you fit your board in there.
It really is a piece of shit.
I do. You know, you cram it in. You know, it's all good. That song was based on experience.
So do you guys fit all your instruments in these piece of shit cars too? Or do you have a big band that you go from place to place, or how do you transfer like that your stuff?
We don't have a band yet. We'd like to get one. We end up having to do two cars. Stadler, the drummer, ends up, you know, getting screwed because he's got to lug all that stuff around, so he essentially becomes one driver, and then whoever gets suckered into staying sober for whatever show gets the other car. So that's usually how it works out. We just throw our crap in there. And again, when you got the acoustic guitar, assuming we don't need to bring our PA to a show, you know, it doesn't take much.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there are some gigs we play in the city where you just walk to them, so
mm-hmm.
That's nice.
I used to live in the city in San Francisco, so when I was looking on your website and I noticed you have some pictures of the places that you've played around the city, I remember going to shows there. And I'm thinking, when I'm looking at these pictures, you really packed those houses, because there are quite a few people in there, and those places are pretty big. So, good for you. Where's your favorite place to play in San Francisco?
Well, I think the best show we've had was probably, what, Slim's, probably?
Slim's, or the Independent was really fun, too. But, yeah, Slim's was really fun.
yeah, there's also the difference of like shows that are just fun to play and then shows that you just get a good response and a lot of people show up. You know, it varies wildly. I also like the Red Devil Lounge. I always have fun playing there.
Yeah. Robert, are you the primary songwriter for the band?
Yeah, I guess so. Steve's starting to do a fair amount of writing now, too. We'll have at least one of his tunes on the next CD. And it's a great tune. Gets a really good response. And we're doing a lot more collaboration now. The first album was a lot more of I would write the song, and then the other guys would find their parts and stuff. And now like, Steve's coming up with parts, you know, that we base the song around, you know. So mm-hmm. Now it's a lot more fun to kind of work that way as opposed to...
Yeah,
you know, writing a lot, you know, just by yourself can kind of suck after a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it represents more of everybody's thoughts and views on what they want the music to be.
Definitely.
So, for both of you, who were your biggest influences growing up, musically or otherwise?
I was all over the map. I mean, I listened to everything. You know, my parents listened to a lot of the Beatles and Creedence Clearwater growing up. So, like, I knew all the words of those songs before I really knew who sang them. Then,
mm-hmm.
As I got older, I really got into, I don't know, Bob Marley and Simon and Garfunkel, Guns N' Roses, just all over the map. I'm really, really into Sublime for a while. Obviously, we like Jack Johnson, but I'm definitely just all over the map.
I kind of grew up loving the Beatles and like Stones. Like, kind of high school was my classic rock era. You know, I think it's just where I went to school. But I would say now, you know, Jack Johnson, you know, Sublime, G-Love, Slightly Stupid, you know, all those guys have a good, you know, just kind of fell into really just digging that vibe and all that. So I think that's where a lot of that sort of feeling comes from.
Mm-hmm. So a big question that a lot of people are interested in with you guys right now is that you recently got one of your songs played as part of the Microsoft commercial. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Your song Share. That's really pretty huge for you guys.
You got to share the moment. You got to share the love. Share your time together, yeah. Cause you never know when that will come to pass. You got to love one another till it's time to let them go. You got to hold on to each other. Soaking on the wet ass and the flare bone, digging in the warm bone, sipping on the cold beer, breathing in the clean air, chilling with my cool friends. Here's the open that I never
did. Microsoft contact you, or how did that happen?
We got a message through MySpace of somebody asking, you know, hey, I've got an opportunity for you guys. And, you know, like, well, what is it? They're like, well, you know, possibly to be in a national commercial. You guys interested? We're like, yeah, we're interested. Tell us more. You know, kind of from there, it just kind of grew. And, you know, I mean, the funny thing is about, what was it, a month or two before that, we were contacted by somebody else to possibly be in a Kohl's commercial to use their song California.
Wow.
And you know, we're kind of like, oh, first of all, do we want to be in a Kohl's commercial? You know, and then the other thing is like, you know, we'd be stupid not to do it. Then, you know, we just kind of never heard from them again. So, obviously, they decided not to use it. But, you know, so we're kind of thinking the same thing would happen with this one.
Yeah, and so were you guys able to participate in the collaboration of how that song would come through and that music? Or did you just stay in the background?
No, not at all. That was kind of the scary part, too, is that we had agreed to let them use a song. We were just sitting there thinking, God, I hope this commercial doesn't suck. Because we really didn't have much control over it.
You're sitting there twiddling your thumbs. Oh, my God.
Yeah. We really were kind of at the mercy of the ad people.
Oh.
We didn't know they were even using it officially until somebody told us that it was live. We started getting text messages from people like, hey, just saw your song on the you know, Sunday night football. Like, what are you talking about? Like, yeah, we kind of like faxed in the contract like a day late, so we kind of thought we were screwed. And then we get those messages. We're like, oh shit, they're actually using it. It's, you know, I think I might turn on the football.
Yeah. They weren't real good with the communication. They didn't actually let us know when it was going to be on or anything, so we started just getting all these messages, so it was pretty cool.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's interesting to hear how that whole process went for you. That sounds...
Yeah, we're pretty much in the dark through most of it. There was basically like, do you guys want to do it? Sure. Next thing you know, it's just there, and we're like, we have no idea how, you know, anything until we saw it.
Oh, my God. Do you have any big tours planned outside of the Bay Area?
We're hoping to maybe get out there in 6 to 12 months. It's kind of hard right now. We all still have full-time jobs, and you know, we're trying to juggle some things around, and hopefully we'll be getting out there pretty soon. We do plan on getting down to Southern California later in the summer.
Oh, good.
But as far as the national level, maybe to promote the next album, which we're working on right now. But we don't have any concrete touring plans at this point.
Well, if you guys make it down to San Diego, I definitely want to make that show because you look like it, you know, you're really fun to go to and everyone's dancing and having a good time, and it sounds like it would be a fun show. So
yeah,
I'll have to,
it's a good time.
Yeah, I'll have to keep myself abreast as to what's going on with you guys on your tour. So
we'll buy you a beer.
Right.
We'll bug you for sure.
Oh, good, good. Who are some of your favorite established and up-and-coming bands?
I'm a huge fan of Bob Schneider, and that's one guy you should definitely check out if you're unfamiliar with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a huge influence as well. You know, just been a huge fan of his. I like the new Pepper album. I like what I've heard from Cat Empire. The Expendables have some very cool stuff, and they seem to be rolling pretty well right now.
And Steve, do you have any favorites?
Yeah, I've been listening to the new album by this band called The Hold Steady.
Mm-hmm.
They're out of Brooklyn. I've been listening to that nonstop. I like the new Matt Costa album a lot. That's really good. Also, this band called Stars. I like their new record a lot. And also, I'm going to see this guy pretty soon again, I think for like the fourth time. His name's Alexi Murdoch. He's a Scottish singer-songwriter. He's a really talented guy. I recommend checking him out as well.
Cool. Would you guys ever consider mixing your sound with another genre of music? Say, you know, an electronica DJ approached you and wanted to mix with you, or if a hip-hop group came up to you and said, we want to mix our music with you, would you be interested in that?
Yeah,
I guess it depends on who it is, you know. But, you know, I'd be interested to hear it.
Yeah, I that's one of my favorite things is when people mix their music with other genres. I like listening to their sound, their pure sound, but then it's fun to hear the mixture. So is there anything that you guys wanted to talk about?
We're headed in the studio last weekend in March and the first in April, just to, we're not really sure what we'll get done, but, you know, hopefully we get, get some songs that we can kind of do a little something with. We probably have 12 songs that are more or less done, and then we have another, you know, and we're always developing songs, so we're pretty much ready to go if we want. But you know, we're not in a huge hurry. You know, our album's essentially only been out for, you know, maybe what, a year now. So
yeah, a little over a year.
Yeah, so you know, we just want to, you know, make sure we have the best songs we can put on the next one. So,
but we're really happy with the stuff we have coming out right now. The stuff that we're working on is definitely up there, same quality. You know, if you like Nooner, you'll definitely be digging the second album when we do put it out.
Is it kind of like a part two, or is it a different sound altogether?
No, it's kind of a blend. I think playing live has helped. Actually, if you go to any of our live shows, we pretty much pull out all the, depending on how long we're playing, you know, but we'll pull out all the newer ones that we're working on, and we probably play maybe 6 to 8 of the newer songs when we play live. Some are still being molded and stuff, but I'd say, like, when we're playing live, we realize that the slow tunes just never go over as well.
Uh-huh.
You know? I mean, it's fun to throw in a slow tune here and there, but it kind of kills the mojo half the time.
Really?
People are, like, up and, yeah, because people are up and dancing and, you know, kind of just getting down and having a good time, and then you pull out a flute in, and it can kind of go either way, you know. Some people like have fun with it and goof with it and like kind of slow dance, but half the time like the floor like clears out, you're like, oh shit,
and they're like, you know,
yeah, exactly. So then they're like, oh, we better play a really fast one after this, you know. So so I think the new album's starting to, you know, a lot of stuff we're writing has, you know, a little more energy to it, you know, just because, you know, what we play mostly is live. So, you know, once you record it,
and we're getting a lot more collaboration in the second album too. So it's not just it's not going to sound like B-sides off of Nooner. It's not going to sound like a carbon copy of Nooner. We're definitely growing a little bit as a band. I'm writing a lot more music, and the other guys are collaborating a ton too. It's definitely more of a group effort.
Oh, cool.
Like we're growing. Band, which is cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear it. That's all, because I really like your current album, so I know I'll like that one too.
I think so. You know, it's everything flows. Like when we play live, you know, I mean, everything goes well together. It's, you know, it's not really a different sound, but it's not the same sound either. You know, so it's kind of in the same ballpark.
And Nooner is available on iTunes. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And can people also buy it in the record store if they want to go into the record store?
What few record stores are left? Yeah, actually you can't.
Unless you're at Tower Records in Japan.
And unless you're in Japan, you can't get our record. We looked into it, and it's a really hard thing to break into in the first place. And then the other side is those places are kind of dying off too. So, you know, something we just really didn't overly pursue, you know, to really try and get into.
That's interesting that we're talking about this, because we recently, Pirate Pods recently interviewed some people at the San Diego Record Show where they are actually selling and reselling vinyl records. And we talked to them about what they think the future of buying and selling music is going to be for this next generation. And that, yeah, CD stores, record stores are pretty much going out of business. But there's nothing like, you know, opening up a new CD and looking at all the pictures and the art and smelling the smell. And it feels different to take your time and go through a record store versus downloading it online. And how do you guys feel about that? Do you think that that's kind of going to be a lost thing for future generations, or what?
I think it will, and I've already noticed that a little bit myself. I buy almost all my music digitally now, so I don't have a whole lot of new actual CDs, and you definitely do miss, you know, the album artwork and flipping through the brochure. And I just actually was thinking about this not too long ago, and I don't even know the names of most of the tracks on some of my favorite albums. I just know it's track 4. Because you'll skip through on your iPod, and I definitely think that there is something that's lost when you move to digital like that.
It's just becoming so popular, it's just hard to kind of ignore it. Like when we initially put our CD out, all you could do was, you know, we're on the list waiting to get onto iTunes, and that took like months. But we sold a lot of CDs, like physical CDs, before that, and then it's almost as soon as like we were up on iTunes, there was a huge switch to where, you know, the selling of the actual CDs itself slowed down a lot, and then, you know, iTunes, it's almost like people were just waiting for the iTunes to come out, you know.
Well that's so interesting. I mean, I guess we need to evaluate, you know, people that are interested in the music world. If that's something that's important to us, if we want album art, then maybe it can be supplied somehow through, you know, a downloadable source like iTunes or something.
Right. So, well, actually, I know the newer G Love album. I mean, I'm sure a lot of them do it, but it has a downloadable. When you get the album, you actually get the album artwork with it, and then I guess it's for you to print out. I mean, I've never done it, but it's there for you to do it. You know, so you could, you know, do it. Obviously, it's a different story. You know, I mean, like ours with the you know, it's kind of fun, like the little, the packaging that it comes in and that sort of thing. But I mean, when it comes down to it, it is really the music that you're getting. But
right,
you know, it's a different world when you pop it on the first time and you're just looking at all the tracks, you know, in the track titles and all that, and just kind of flipping through things. So that's definitely lost, but you know, I mean, the essence of it is definitely there. So,
as all generations say something like that, this was lost with our generation. And maybe this is what's going to be lost with ours. But
yeah, I mean, that's what they said when everyone was switching to CDs, was that you were losing something, not playing records anymore.
Mm-hmm. And tapes.
Scratch.
So we end all of our Pirate Pod interviews with a pirate shout out. Could you guys give us a little pirate something?
Arr.
Before I go, I'm gonna need some time to say goodbye to all of my family and friends, cause I'm just a part of them and all the shit I picked up from each one of them and everything I gave them back and all the times I got off track. I give my shit, gonna give it all to someone.